Introduction. Can you name all 10? This book is the product not only of years of exploration of the Bible and the ancient rabbinic teachings, but also of my own failures, triumphs, and lessons learned. Like many of us, I have struggled with a career and the unique pressures of modern life, have loved and failed at love, have endured a complicated childhood and raised children of my own, have lived as both a devoutly religious man and a complete secularist, have struggled to deepen myself spiritually, intellectually, and culturally, have seen war and terrorism and social decay from fairly close up, and have broken one or another of the Ten Commandments too many times. My life has been interesting, but far from perfect. I do not presume to preach. The purpose of this book is not to tell you about all the riches and goodness that come from abandoning our worldly concerns and embracing the Ten Commandments as a simple divine answer to everything. It is, rather, to share with you my own thoughts about the Hebrew Bible or Old Testament and the sense that it has been deeply misunderstood in our world. My main claim is that the Old Testament's centerpiece, the Ten Commandments, is neither an archaic remnant of a dead past nor an arbitrary set of laws handed down to 100 generations of hungry supplicants and rebellious fools. The commandments represent, rather, a whole attitude to life, one that recognizes both the weaknesses and the unfathomable potential of humanity, a worldview that has largely been forgotten but has a great deal to offer every one of us today. I do believe that the Ten Commandments are a blueprint for a good society, and that a proper understanding of what they were originally meant to communicate can lead all of us, regardless of our faith, to a much better place. But to assert this at the outset is probably saying too much, too soon. Every few years, the Ten Commandments become a major topic of discussion in the Western world. In America, the most public battleground has been the Supreme Court, which has ruled in a series of cases involving the placement of the Ten Commandments in public displays on government grounds. In one case, in 2005, they were put on display alongside 8 classic legal works at courthouses in 2 Kentucky counties, where they were meant to represent the state's precedent legal code. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that the display violated the First Amendment's ban on an establishment of religion and had to be removed. On the same day, the court ruled on a similar case in Texas, again 5-4, but this time to permit a 6-foot-high statue showing the Ten Commandments on the grounds of the Texas State Capitol. Though the cases were just different enough in the details to allow the court to come down on different sides, it was clear that on fundamentals, the justices divided into 2 roughly even camps, one allowing the display of the Ten Commandments in government institutions, one against. What were they arguing about? The debate, it turns out, was not about whether the Ten Commandments were a religious text, everyone agreed that they were, but whether the kind of religion their display was meant to promote was allowed by law. In his opposition to the Texas display, Justice David Souter pointed to what he saw as the simple realities that the Ten Commandments constitute a religious statement, that their message is inherently religious, and that the purpose of singling them out in a display is clearly the same. At the other end was Justice Antonin Scalia, who wrote the dissent in the Kentucky case. In his view, the problem is not that...